I started last week's message with an old hymn that a song and the story behind it, and I thought I'd do the same thing this week. I'm not going to do it every week. And I'm going to do something just a little bit different this week. I'm not going to actually sing it this morning. But I wanted to tell you about a song that was written by Francis Bottom. Now, how would you like to have that name growing up, especially in today's culture? Man, I think he'd been made fun of. Francis, not just Francis, but Bottom. Hey, Mr. Bottom. Francis Bottom. But he was born May 26, 1823 in England. He lived over in England for a while. And so actually, he would have celebrated his 202nd birthday just a few weeks ago. But as a young man, he was greatly influenced by the Methodist churches in his areas, in his hometown. And he was even one of those guys that was willing to help out preaching in his area. And so he did that. But then he moved to America in 1850. So about 1850, he moved to America. He wanted to continue preaching. So he got educated at a seminary, at a college, got a theological degree in a college in Pennsylvania, not too far from where my parents live. But he wrote a few hymns, not a big, large amount of pen, but his hymns focus a lot on the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. And the hymn that we're going to look at this morning was written very late in his life, but is one of his more popular, well-known songs. And you can find it in your hymn book on page 257. And I purposely didn't tell Anita this morning not to include this in the message because I wanted to you look at the words. Sometimes when we sing the song, we don't look at the words. And so I got them up on the screen this morning, and I want you to look at these words and focus, because I think Francis Bottom had the joy and the essence of what the Holy Spirit actually does and why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us after his resurrection and ascension by singing this song, by repenting this song. And this is a song, The Comforter Has Come. Probably most of you have heard it before and sung it before, but I just love the words. Now look at these words as I read them to you. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim that joyful sound. The Comforter has come. The chorus, the Comforter's come, the Comforter's come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter's come. That's a great message that we as Christians need to have. The Comforter's come, so what? Spread the tidings round. We're going to talk about that. But verse 2 says a very similar message here. Oh, lo, the great King of Kings, with healing in his wings, to every captive soul a full deliverance brings. And through the vacant cells, the song of triumph rings, the Comforter's come, right? The vacant cells, the lives that are kind of vacant, are now triumphant because of the Holy Spirit, because he rings in our heart there. Last verse, it says, oh, boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to wandering mortals tell the matchless grace divine, that I, a child of hell, should in his image shine. The Comforter has come. Great, great hymn, but great words, that hymn. What I like most about this song is that it focuses mostly on what the Spirit-filled Christians should be doing, spreading that tidings, telling others, letting mortals, wandering mortals, tell the matchless grace divine, to let them know what Jesus is all about, especially the truth of where'er human woes abound. Those vacant cells of people's lives can be filled with triumph because of what Jesus does in them. And this last verse mentioning every wandering mortal about this matchless grace divine, and the idea that we, who are once a child of hell, have this message that we can bring to others, that we too can say, hey, you, even though you're a child of hell, can know this matchless grace divine. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful hymn. Of course, it's set to the tune. I put down here a tune by William Kirkpatrick. William Kirkpatrick was another famous hymn writer. He wrote many tunes, some of them actually to Fanny Crosby's hymns. And so if you see that at the bottom of your hymnals, he wrote some of those tunes to Fanny Crosby. There's a lot about this song that I really like. But there's one very glaring thing that I hate about this song, that I really dislike about this song, and I'm going to let you know about that in a minute here. One major flaw that I think needs correcting. I'm not sure how to correct it, but anyways. One major flaw. We've been looking at the book of John for the last 6 months now, and we've only got to chapter 16, but we're getting there. Jesus, in this text this morning, was meeting with his disciples in the upper room just hours before he would go to the cross and would die for the sins of the world. He was wanting to prepare them for the couple days ahead and what was going to come. He tells them that he's going to go away. He's going to prepare a place for them. We talked about that before. In the meantime, he's going to send another helper, another counselor, another comforter to come to prepare them, to help them along the way. He tells them that there will be a persecution that even comes along with this. And this divine person, this co-equal with God and Jesus, would come and live within us and help us during this time. And we saw that he first started talking about this in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. He says, "And I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be within you." And so we have this counselor that's going to come. But he takes another full chapter in our Bibles. Of course, it takes just a few minutes up in the upper room. But a full chapter before he comes around and talks about this counselor again. He does, a few verses later there in chapter 14, does mention the counselor. It says, "But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, will teach you all these things and remind you of everything I've said to you." And so he talks about this counselor, and then he goes off on other things like love and I'm the vine type of thing, chapter 15, and even a little persecution there in chapter 15 before he comes back to this counselor, the Spirit of Truth. And this is what we're going to look at this morning. So let's look and see what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit and what he does. Let's read how John describes the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16. But unfortunately, John 16 actually, I think it's an unfortunate chapter break. They actually start talking about that a few verses earlier in chapter 15. And so we're going to read at the end of chapter 15, starting in verse 26, and then go on into chapter 16 of John. John 15, verses 26 through 16:15 says this: "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. You also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this, so that when the time comes, you remember that I warned you. Did I not tell you this at first because I was with you? But now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your own good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But he, the Spirit of Truth, when he comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take it from what is mine and make it known to you." Now, you might have noticed in there that I underlined the word counselor several times in this passage. Wow, that doesn't show up on the screen very well. And this is the word that the King James Version translates, the comforter. I'm not sure if that's the best translation, though, and that's kind of what I don't like about the song, "The Comforter's Come." I can see where they get the idea from. You see, Jesus is talking to his disciples in this upper room just before he goes to the cross. He's showing them his love, and he's telling them all about how you need to love like I've loved, and shows him how he loves by washing his disciples' feet, by telling them that he's gone to prepare a place for them, and that he could be with them forever up in heaven. And he told him that in the meantime, I'm going to send you another counselor, someone who would come and help and comfort and send them another counselor. And this is the first use of the word paraclete in the Bible. Paraclete is a word means comforter. We'll talk about that in a minute here. It's a word that describes the Holy Spirit. He tells them that he's going to show his love by laying down their lives and, of course, the love for one another, and even calls them friends and not servants. So there's a lot of love and comfort going on in these chapters in the scene. And one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, as we'll see, is one that's going to live with us and be with us. And in that way, there is kind of a comfort. We read about that this morning already. It brings comfort to the believer to know that God is with us. But I think the Holy Spirit is more than this. And to get this idea from the Comforter, we get the idea that we should live comfortable lives and that we should be lives of ease and comfort in this world, which is something totally contrary to what this passage even talks about. Because in the midst of all this love and comfort, Jesus says very plainly, even in the passage that we read this morning, people want to kill you. People want to persecute you. We'll send you out of the synagogue and persecute you. He tells his disciples in the previous passage, just before I started reading this passage in chapter 15, that they will want to be just like the master. They'll treat you just like they treated me, the master. The servant is no greater than his master. What they did to me, they're going to do to you too. And so they were going to persecute Jesus. And so calling the Holy Spirit the Comforter, I'm not sure if it totally fits in this passage. I can understand where it comes from. But the word paraclete is more than this. In the Greek, the word paraclete is used to describe a defense attorney, someone that would stand up for the defense for the accused and would argue the case before a judge. An advocate is another translation. And there's a bit of this in this passage, but we actually get a clearer picture when John uses this term paraclete about actually Jesus himself. John chapter 1 verse 1 says this: "My dear children, I'm writing this to you that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, a counselor, a comforter, if you would, that's the same word paraclete there, before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, who's the one who is truly righteous." And so in this case, the paraclete is referring to Jesus as his advocate, this one who stands up and pleads our case. And I think that's kind of good that we have this here. But this advocate or defender is someone who helps defend you before a judge, is another way you could translate this verse. But if you look at this idea, they don't really fit in John's gospel about how the Holy Spirit that John describes is going to help us. It's not someone who's going to stand up before us, before a judge, and defend our case. And so I'm not sure if the word advocate or defender or defense attorney actually adequately describes the word paraclete. Now, the New International Version, the NIV, uses the word counselor, which I think is probably a little bit better translation, closer to its meaning. The Holy Spirit will tell us what to do and say and think, and just like a counselor does in our context and our culture today. And so there's this idea that the counselor will inform us what God wants and what God's doing, and so that's close. Other translations have the word helper, which is, again, okay, he does help us in certain ways, and we'll see in a minute, and he does alongside of us. That's kind of the he walks alongside of us and helps us. So there is that. Another translation just uses the phrase someone who stands beside us, kind of like a best man type of person, which again on the surface is okay, but not really gets the heart of what I think the Holy Spirit does. In order to get to the heart of what this word paraclete means, I think we need to look at the job description that John gives and Jesus gives to us in these three chapters. And so I kind of made a quick list of them. I'm not going to go through all, I don't know how many even I got here, a list of the things that John describes the Holy Spirit doing from chapter 14 on through chapter 16. But I kind of listed them here in this list here. He first says that he'll be with us forever, John 14:6. That he'll never leave us, never abandon us, never forsake us, kind of like Jesus says at the end of Matthew. That he'll live in us as believers, he'll indwell us, he'll that it's kind of that inner voice, that inner conscious that we hear, that sound in our head. But again, he's more than just the conscience. That's just one of the jobs he fills. Later on in chapter 14, he says that he is sent from God. But then in chapter 15 and 16, he says that Jesus is the one that sends him. So that kind of puts Jesus and God in the same category. We're sending him kind of as a Trinity. And so the Holy Spirit makes three. And so there's that Trinity imagery there. And then we have that he will teach us and remind us all that Jesus did. That's what it talks about when we read chapter 14, verse 26. He'll teach us and remind us of the things, especially what Jesus said to us, and remind us what Jesus did. So that's one of those things that I think we'll focus on a little bit here. But then he says he will testify about Jesus. Testify about Jesus. And I like this passage here. 15:26 says that he will testify about me in order to what? To testify, for you to testify. Because the next verse says this, and so you must also testify. You also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And so the Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus in order for us to testify. And I think this is a very important point that we're going to look at here today. So back to our list here, that he will help us testify is, I think, a very important trait of Jesus, and we'll look at that in a moment. And then we read this morning in chapter 16 a few more things about the Holy Spirit, that he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. It said, in regard to sin, because men do not believe me, in regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer, and in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. And so we see this I think, a very key part of the Holy Spirit's job. And then we have that he will guide us into all truth. And this is another very important part, I think, as well. He'll guide us in all truth, mainly because of what the word truth means. We'll talk about that in connection again. And then, let's see here. My slides are not as well as I should. And then also in that verse as well, it says he'll speak only of God. He'll speak only the words of God. It's very similar to what Jesus says, that I'm only speak what the Father speaks to me, what the Father tells me to speak. I will speak. I will do only what the Father tells. So again, the connection between Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God, all bringing together. And there's that. And then finally, I think the final one, he'll bring glory to God by making Jesus known, okay? That's at the end of the chapter there, or middle of the chapter 16 that I read this morning. This is also pretty self-explanatory, just something that Jesus does as well. I don't bring glory to myself, but I bring glory to the Father, and so the Holy Spirit will do the same thing. So it's kind of the Spirit of Jesus and the Spirit of God flowing through us, because Jesus is physically no longer going to be with us. And now, this is just the list here from John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Now, there's other chapters in the Bible that talk about what the Holy Spirit does, and I don't have time this morning to explain more on that. The fruit of the Spirit talked on last week briefly, but there's a lot. But the one thing I want to point out here, one of the key factors, I think, in explaining what the Paraclete is, what the Holy Spirit is, means is because of those two stars there, that he'll guide us in all truth and that he'll help us testify. Because I noticed that there's a connection between the word paraclete in John's gospel and the words, or the phrase, Spirit of Truth. Spirit of Truth. It's a phrase that's contained. Let me read again John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, and I underline both the terms this time here. It says, I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor, the paraclete, to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Okay, and I'm going to stop right there, because I think the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him because he lives in you. So the Spirit of Truth is linked very closely with the word paraclete. We see this, the same thing in John chapter 15, verse 26. When a counselor comes, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. So the Spirit of Truth, paraclete, right next to each other. And in chapter 16, very similar, we had this word paraclete as well. The counselor, unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And so the word paraclete is linked very much with this word Spirit of Truth. Three of the four times, the word paraclete is used in very close connection with the Spirit of Truth. In fact, the fourth time, the fourth and the final time that it's used is in chapter 14, verse 26. And I would argue that it almost has this idea of truth as well in there. It doesn't actually have the Spirit of Truth phrase in there, but it says, when the Counselor, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I said. So what Jesus says is the truth, and so therefore, he's kind of in there. And so, so we have this counselor, this paraclete, linked with the Spirit of Truth. Now, I thought I'd do a word study this week on the word truth. I look up in my Bible dictionary, in my Bible program, and where is the word truth found in the New Testament? And it was very enlightening just to see all the words truth or truly or true. I wish I could list all of them. But a large majority of them are connected with the truth of Jesus. In fact, first of all, Jesus says 78 times in the Gospels, truly I say to you, or I tell you the truth, or the King James Version says, verily I say unto you. Verily, you know, the old King James Version. I was very surprised too about this. I didn't know this until actually this morning as I was re-looking this up here, the word verily in the Greek. In John's gospel, John is the only one that does a verily, verily, I say to you. Or truly, truly, I say to you. John's the only gospel that does that. All the other gospels says, I say this to you truly. Or truly, I say this to you. Or verily, I say this to you. John actually says, truly, truly, I say this. Or verily, verily. Only gospel writer does this. For 15 or 26 times, John says this, doubles it up. True, true. I'm speaking the truth. So John is one of those gospels that speaks a lot about the truth. In fact, more than 15 times, just in John's gospels, we have Jesus saying that I'm the truth, or talking about Jesus being the true way or the true way. And you'll remember some of them. We've studied several of them in our passages of scripture. John says that Jesus is full of grace and truth, right at the beginning of the gospel, full of grace and truth. And the grace and truth came through Jesus, verse 17 of chapter 1. The woman at the well, Jesus ministers to the woman at the well in chapter 4 and says that in the future, those that worship God is going to worship this God in spirit and in truth. And it's very interesting there that it says even in the next verse there that God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. That's chapter 4, verse 24. John said, or Jesus says in 8:32 that we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. Very, very important part there. Jesus even uses the word truth to apply to himself as the great I am. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is the truth there. He says, the next chapter, 15, verse 1, says, I am the true vine. Again, not just a false vine, but the true vine. Next week, in chapter 17, Jesus is going to pray his great priestly prayer. We're going to look at next week. He says, sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And I could go on and on in John. Jesus is the truth. He taught God's truth. He lived his truth. In fact, the book of Revelation, which also John wrote, by the way, John refers to Jesus as the holy and true, faithful and true, just and true, and trustworthy and true are his sayings, it says there. So he, many times, Jesus is called the true. He's the truth. He does the truth. And I think John just is focusing on the truth. In fact, that would be one of his themes of his Gospels. But even Paul equates the message of the Gospel with the truth. He calls it the Gospel, the truth, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. And he encourages us to what? Put on the belt of truth around our waist in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, in all these passages we have about Jesus, but we have this about the Spirit of Truth as well. In these passages, talking about the Spirit of Truth, because it's God's Spirit. It's true. I don't think that's a coincidence. Because I think this aspect of the Spirit becoming the Spirit of Truth is what lines up with this idea of the paraclete. Because when you have a counselor, an advocate, a helper, a defense attorney who comes beside you, who knows the truth, who is the truth, who reminds us of the truth, you have a firm foundation to stand upon. You have a firm place. You have a measuring rod which you can measure yourself. You know where you stand. You stand in the truth. And this is especially true in our culture today, when the culture around us doesn't really believe in absolute truths, right? Today, many people believe that the truth is whatever I make it, whatever I say it is. That truth is transitory, it's changeable. What it was yesterday, what was true yesterday, might not be true today. And what was true today might not be true tomorrow. Truth is what I make it. If I say something is true, then it must be true. Whatever, even if it might be something false. I mean, you have this all, you cannot, you have to look far to look for it. Almost every article you see promotes one lie or another, that abortion is not murder, or that men can be women, or that you can live in whatever lifestyle you want. Those things are not true just because they say they're true. You even see this in churches. Do you see people thinking, oh, I can come to church and worship on Sunday, then I can just go out and live the rest of my week however I want. Or I'll be okay if I come to Sunday and make my presence known, put a dollar in the offering, I'll be okay. That's all that matters. No. Those are lies. All these are lies that people tell themselves to make them feel better or to justify their actions. And I could go on to list other different things that we lie about, that gossip isn't wrong, or that lying, white lies are not wrong, or treating others with contempt is okay. But the Bible says there's only one thing that is true, God and the things of God, the things that God gives to us in His Bible. He is the authority of what is right and wrong. He is the authority of what is good and bad, what is true and false. He is that yardstick. He's that ruler that we have to measure up to. His word is the final authority, the final word. And of course, we know what is false. Jesus calls him a liar and a follower of lies. We saw that in chapter 8 of John. The liar and full of lies. In fact, even here in John chapter 16, I just saw it here again this morning here. I didn't realize it, but he was also talked about let's see if I can find it here. Oh, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. He's talking about the devil that lies, not the truth. We know he is false and knows the lies that he tells us. So having someone live inside of us, telling us what is true, what is of God, what Jesus has said, reminding us what Jesus did, testifying about him, are all the things that the Holy Spirit does. In fact, if you look at the list again here, I underlined the task of the Holy Spirit that has directly to do with truth, right? The Spirit of truth that he sent from God, he was sent by Jesus, who are the true ones, you know, again, that he teaches us and reminds of what Jesus did. Again, Jesus taught the truth. He testifies about Jesus. He will guide us into all truth, verse 16-13, that he'll speak only of God, and he'll bring glory to God by making Jesus known. Look at that. All the lists that I mentioned up there before are all things that the Holy Spirit does with, as far as truth, the Spirit of truth. And I would even argue that that middle one there toward the end there, that he'll convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment, that's also because of truth. So I can really underline that one as well. And so we have the first two, which he'll live in us and be with us and be with us forever. Has nothing to do with the truth, but that's good comforting in things. But what about that middle one there that I did not underline? Although there was an underline, what about he'll help us testify? And I think this is where the song that we brought this morning brings about. The song that I used about the comforter coming to us. Sure, the song uses comforter, but I think that's an inadequate term for what the Holy Spirit does. He just doesn't comfort us. That might be the first two. But look at all the things about truth that he gives to us. And that middle one there, he'll help us testify to other people. What is that song, The Comforter's Come? What's the main message of that song? Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found. It's about witnessing. It's about telling others about Jesus. It's about testifying what God has done in our lives to others around us. We need to tell people about the truth that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. We need to tell them about the love of Jesus. And not just that Jesus loves them, but that because Jesus loves them, he died for them because they are sinful. That they have sin in their lives. And if they don't confess their sins, they can't realize that full extent of God's love, that Jesus' love for them, unless they confess and repent and turn from those sins. This is what the truth of the gospel is all about. This is what John's trying to tell us in this thing, that the Spirit of truth stands alongside us when we tell others about the Holy Spirit and about God and the Bible and all the truth. This is where I think the key aspect of the Holy Spirit is all about. It's being that Spirit comes alongside of us, that counselor, that the advocate, that defense attorney that bears witness. This is the truth. And the Holy Spirit can work in other people's lives and say, hey, what this person is saying is the truth. That's what the Spirit does. It talks about the truth of God's word. And this is where that aspect of convicting the world of sin and righteousness comes into play. Because we need to tell people that they need to repent of their sins. Conviction of their sins. We need to tell them about Jesus' righteousness, how Jesus came and died for them, and how if they don't accept Jesus, that judgment will come. In order to be saved from the judgment, they need to come to Jesus and repent. This is what the Holy Spirit is all about. This is what I think the word paraclete really talks about. It talks about being that truth, that ruler that we can be alongside, sharing with others and telling them. So our paraclete is not a comforter. Yes, he does kind of bring us comfort by being in us, in our presence, but that's not the focus or the purpose that Jesus lays out here in these chapters. And he's also like a lawyer, an advocate, or a defender, and he will tell the judge in heaven, hey, I stand along the truth. They truly are relying upon me, and they believe in the truth of what Jesus did. And he will counsel us. He will tell us and be our friend and come alongside us and encourage us along the way. But the most important thing that the Holy Spirit does is to help us tell others about Jesus. He's the one that stands beside us when the world refuses to see the truth. Who refuses to see the truth of the gospel. And when they do not believe or tell us that we're lying, we can point to the Holy Spirit. We can point to the Bible. We can point to the truth. And the Spirit will back us up. We can hold out that ruler and say, this is the standard that God made, and the only way you can get it is through Jesus Christ. And of course, he'll be with us when things get tough and the world rejects us and persecutes us and even kills us and thinks it's justified. That's what the best definition of paraclete, I think, is, that he is a truth teller. That we, as him as a truth teller, can help us tell the truth. That encompasses all these jobs that Jesus describes in these passages. I think Jesus himself showed it in his own life that he was a truth teller, telling others about what he was going to do, what God was going to do in their lives. We even see this God being a truth teller in the Old Testament. I didn't have time to talk about the Old Testament and the truth that God has in the Old Testament. You see, the Holy Spirit helps those around us see that this book, that Jesus' life, that the ministry that we have to proclaim is the truth. We can rely upon it. It's a firm foundation. This should give us all the more encouragement to tell others about it and how the truth has changed our own lives. And I think we need to let people know. Again, I'm going to put this words up on the screen for the comforters come, because I think this is a very important aspect of our lives for Jesus this morning, is that we spread the tidings around wherever we find people, wherever human heart and where human woes abound. I mean, people out there are needing Jesus. But we have that joyful sound that the comforters come. And again, that last verse, boundless love divine, how can this tongue of mine to wandering mortals tell the matchless gaze of thine, that I love this passage, I, a child of hell, should in his image shine. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's why the Holy Spirit has come, and that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life.